Well, we're pleased to be welcoming to the program today a conversation about racial justice here in Quincy and different avenues that's taking within the city most recently over this past summertime to create some change, create some conversation, create some positive movement. So we're welcoming to the program Mimi Balsamo, also the Reverend Rebecca Froom of the United First Parish Church, the Church of Presidents you may be familiar with in Quincy Center, and a Pastor Matt Thomas of the Bethel Church of the Nazarene in Germantown. So as we do that, I'm going to switch over to our gallery view here so folks can see all of us at once. And hi, everybody. And Mimi, we'll start with you. You were kind of the impetus to spur this conversation by reaching out to us here at QAETV. So I'd like to start with you and maybe chat with us just a little bit, first of all, about your involvement in the Quincy for Transformative Change group and how you got involved with it.
My involvement began with the Quincy for Transformative Change began at the vigil for George Floyd. And it was such a moving moment to see so many of our Quincy residents come stand in grief and mourning and respect for George Floyd and the grassroots movement that started. I joined that group right away, and I have always been an activist at heart. So I started looking to that group for ways to continue to be involved in the movement. At one point, I asked if there was a weekly standout to support the Black Lives Matter movement, because I felt we didn't want the movement to fade. And as so often with a crisis, everyone pays attention, and then after that, their things simmer down. I wanted to keep that presence for many different reasons. And one, I don't remember who it was in the organization of Transformative Change who said to me, "We don't have one yet, so why don't you start one?"
So I, for what you wish for, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I took that question and asked it of myself, and I said, "I want it. I feel strongly about it. Let me go about making it happen and see how we can work it." And I particularly wanted to locate us in the heart of the city, if possible, and that's. That has worked out really well with the Reverend Rebecca Froom's help.
And Reverend, when Mimi approached you, what was your reaction?
My reaction was agreement that having a space for moral witness right here in the heart of the city on an ongoing, regular basis was really important. And knowing the leadership that Quincy for Transformative Change has been taking for racial justice in recent months, I was really excited about the possibility to have a collaboration and partnership between the church and the interfaith community and Quincy for Transformative Change to really lift up our values of striving for equality and bring an ongoing focus to the ways in which our world is still unequal and which change does need to happen. So we're there on Thursdays to witness together, to keep that moral movement in the consciousness of Quincy.
Were members of the congregation supportive of this? Do they participate?
Yes, we have members of the congregation who have worked with Mimi to design like what it would look like, and our board of governors at the church gave unanimous approval to this. Our values as a faith community are about justice, equity, compassion, peace, honoring the worth and dignity of all people. And those values are shared by many, many faith communities, each speaking in their own theological language. So this kind of event is really an affirmation and celebration of what we stand for as a community. And doing it in partnership is really what we want to be building community within Quincy.
Yeah, and one of your partners, obviously, is the Bethel Church of the Nazarene with Pastor Thomas. And Pastor, how did you and your church get involved in this organization?
Yeah, so I currently serve as the Interfaith Coordinator at Quincy for Transformative Change. And as Mimi approached us with kind of the desire to support Black and Brown lives and partner with the church in terms of a moral witness in the city, it just made sense, right? It just made sense for us to partner with this group ultimately for Black lives. When we talk about the disparities that are going on in the world today, police brutality, mass incarceration, systematic racism, from my vantage point, people of faith, people of conviction have a responsibility. As humans, we're social creatures, right? We don't encounter the other as a problem to be solved, as political philosophers, years and years ago out of Europe would suggest. But we encounter the other as a human, as a person who has needs, who has hopes, who has dreams. And when we see the injustices going on in our world today, people of faith and conviction have a responsibility to stand up and stand alongside of the marginalized, the poor, the oppressed, those who are looked down upon by society, those who are victimized continually day in and day out. And so for me and for our congregation support, it's participating in this endeavor is overflowing out of who we are and who we understand that God actually desires us to be.
Did Quincy for Transformative Change exist prior to the George Floyd tragedy, or was this something that was spawned because of it?
It came together shortly after after George Floyd's murder. A group of kind of concerned citizens planned a vigil in Quincy Center, right out in front of the church, shortly after his atrocious murder and death. And then Quincy for Transformative Change basically flowed out of that.
So what is the organization's mission, goal, purpose, statement, if you will?
Yeah, just give me about 10 seconds to pull it up. I have it right here. Yeah. Here we go. The mission of Quincy for Transformative Change is to bring together people in the Quincy area to end systematic injustice. While we are just one city, we are also part of a larger movement. As an anti-racist organization, we believe that all human beings are inherently worthy and deserve to have the same agency and opportunities, free from discrimination on the basis of race, gender, sexual orientation, socioeconomic status, disability, religion, age, immigration status, or physical appearance. We value diversity and we seek to transform Quincy by addressing and eliminating unjust policies and practices that stand in the way of fair treatment and opportunity for all. Our primary goals are to educate, inform, advocate, and take action in solidarity with Black lives to create and maintain a more inclusive Quincy.
So has the group identified specific areas within the city of Quincy that they feel need transformative change?
Yes. Sorry. I don't want to hog all the discussion, but just one kind of initial thing that we think is of vital importance is that we have asked our city leaders to declare racism a public health crisis. If we look at throughout the history of this country, as well as the current climate of mass incarcerations and prison industry complex, as well as the health disparities, specifically for Black and Brown and Indigenous people of color, we believe that declaring racism a public health crisis is not a superfluous endeavor. It's simply acknowledging that the experiences of our Black and Brown sisters and brothers are real, they're valid, and they matter. Declaring racism a public health crisis acknowledges the structure and interpersonal racism and acknowledges that it's worthy of assessment, treatment, and financial investment in order to eradicate its negative health impacts. We believe that this is a significant step towards us becoming intentionally anti-racist.
So Reverend Froom, do you agree with that statement and that mission?
I do. I think acknowledgement is such a crucial part towards transformative change. And so acknowledgement's hard. It's very hard. One of the things I speak to my congregation about is that defensiveness that I think, especially those of us who are white or benefit from other privileges in our society, it's easy to respond with defensiveness or to say, not me, not my community. And that defensiveness is actually an invitation to pay attention and to think about, are there things I'm not aware of? Are there perspectives, experiences I'm not aware of? And how can I listen to the other, listen to the call for transformative change, for accountability? And that's a hard thing to do. And that's part of why we're doing it in community here with the interfaith community, with Quincy for Transformative Change, and having the weekly Black Lives Matter standout keeps it in the consciousness of like, oh yes, this is something we all need to think about. And when we're thinking about it, we start to look at the ways in which racism is embedded in our society. And since we're in our society, you know, there's aspects of racism that dwell in our hearts, whether or not we see them. And so a Black Lives Matter vigil calls us to look in our hearts and look in our society to see where is racism and injustice so that we can change it, so that we can live our best ideals and live in this world of equality. So acknowledging that racism is a public health crisis, acknowledging that all institutions have some amount of implicit bias and it can be easy really for structural racism to dwell in our society until we acknowledge that it exists.
What about yourself, Mimi? How do you feel about this declaring public health, racism, a public health crisis in Quincy?
Well, in my background, I'm actually a registered nurse and a psychiatric nurse practitioner, retired. And in my long experience, I have witnessed the inequality and the terrible, inequity of maternal and child survival rates and the lack of, you know, the effect of poverty and, racial bias, keeping people living in poor situations, children being raised in unhealthy settings. And so I've known this forever, and psychologically the effects, the lack of healthy food for people. I think all of the effects, the subtle effects that are there with poverty that goes with racism as well. Lack of opportunity and lack of even basically the same quality medical care is a huge problem. That's always been on my mind as a medical professional. So I agree with this wholeheartedly. And I think that the emotional and psychological pressure on Black people with the rate of violent deaths and murders that we hear about so often, I think all of our society is really feeling that weight and oppression, and our family and friends of color are feeling it exponentially more so, but it's destructive to our whole society. So I'm in full agreement.
I have asked the mayor about this issue specifically, and he has said he does not feel that it needs to be declared a public health crisis in Quincy. He feels that the way the city invests its funds in education, public safety, recreation, speak for themselves in his words as to where the priorities in the city lie, and that that is providing equal opportunity for everyone who lives in Quincy. So, Pastor Thomas, how would you respond to that?
I think it's easy to acknowledge that there's not a problem if we don't see it every day. I believe that we live in a white supremacy culture. I believe the way in which Quincy operates, wanting to hire people from our own, whether it's in the school system or a variety of other kind of agencies, should be problematic, and it should cause us to pause and reevaluate what we're doing. I mean, even if you look at the demographics of Quincy police, 90-some percent of them are white males. There are very few Asians, there are very few women, and there are very few Black and brown police officers. And I understand that that's tied to the civil service exam and civil service requirements, and I've actually been working with the mayor, with some other kind of concerned citizens about, he has suggested they're potentially interested in reevaluating the hiring process that goes into Quincy police because of the disparities. But I guess my response would be that if it's hard to see the problem, if we live in a world, or if our vantage point towards the world is limited, if we're not hearing the stories and taking time to listen to the experiences and the wounds and the vulnerabilities of our Black and brown Indigenous sisters and brothers, then as white people, we live in a sense of privilege where we can be blissfully unaware of our privilege and blissfully unaware of the fact that systematic racism does exist and exists even here in our own city and in our own communities.
Reverend Frum, would you like to comment on that?
Yeah, well, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King time and time again spoke about the importance of the fierce urgency of now, and that justice cannot wait. And so declaring something a public health crisis brings the fierce urgency of now. And, you know, we live in a city with a proud legacy of democracy. And democracy needs to be lived actively and looking at the problems that we face, not as the problems of the past or the problems of the future. Change is ongoing. And when we as a city and we as a country and we as faith communities and as families are able to look around and look at the rates of COVID deaths that have disproportionately affected people of color and say, you know, the crisis of COVID and the crisis of racism are twin pandemics, and that we need to respond to that with that urgency to speak for justice and conviction and look more deeply. You know, sometimes we need to like be a little shocked to wake up and look around and see not only what's going well. It's so important to celebrate what's going well and how much has changed in the last 10 years, the last 50 years, the last 400 years since slavery was first brought to our country in 1619. We have to celebrate the successes, and as part of the democratic tradition, we have to look at where there's inequality so that we can keep shifting towards the world that we dream about.
So where would the inequality in Quincy be? First of all, Pastor Thomas, you mentioned the hiring process and, you know, the current makeup of city municipal workers in general. Is that it? Is it just in the public realm, or is it in the private sector as well?
That specifically for me.
Yeah, I'd like to hear your voice on this, Pastor Matt.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think we see it, certainly see it systematically in terms of those who work for the city, right? I think that's a significant concern, and that they're not representative of the demographics of our community. And that should be problematic for us. I think there is certainly personal racism at play as well. And, you know, I've had numerous conversations with Black and brown Indigenous people of color within this community who have experienced both microaggressions and significant, enormous acts of racism. I think of a story of an individual, Black woman, who was a part of Quincy for Transformative Change, who lived in Quincy, whose neighbors called the police on her over 50 times in a 6-month period. And the police showed up every time, and they tried to file a report for harassment and the challenges that went into that. But they said, oh, you know, calling the police on someone cannot be considered harassment. So I think we see it systematically wired into our city, but I think we also see it on a personal level as well.
Reverend, your feelings about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's heartbreaking hearing these stories and knowing the amount of fear that people are living with. And, you know, when we turn to science, we know that living with fear, you know, is psychologically dangerous and it becomes physiologically dangerous. So when we talk about transformative change, I think we're looking at this meeting place between the interpersonal, neighbor to neighbor, and the systematic of who do we have in positions of leadership. Where those meet is really where we need transformative change. And part of, I think, how we move is to let ourselves be a little heartbroken and to let ourselves then feel some anger. And, you know, that's empathy, that's compassion. The root of the word compassion is to suffer with. And in order to do that, we need to see the suffering of our neighbors. You know, people cannot heal from a wound if the violence is still happening. So when people do not see themselves represented in positions of leadership, when people wonder if the police will act with violence, people are living with fear, and you can't heal from the sins of the past until we're able to change the present.
So, you know, I've talked to the mayor about this as well, and he's, you know, feels that we have a well-trained police force, he has told me, and you don't see incidents like the George Floyd's here in the city of Quincy. So is there a problem there?
I mean, we need a better standard than our police have not murdered people. And I know Pastor Matt has been part of a group of concerned citizens that have been meeting with the mayor and other city officials. So Pastor Matt, would you share some of what you've been discussing there?
Yeah, so one of the things that the mayor and Chris Walker, Chief of Staff, and Chief Keenan has been a part of our every other month dialogues. And one of the things that that the chief has said repeatedly is we don't have reports of Quincy police, you know, acting negatively towards people. But there's not really an easy way to file a report. If you log into the Quincy police website, you could spend 10 to 15 minutes trying to find out how you would send a report if you had a negative interaction with a police officer. And it's not clear ultimately how one would do that. Couple that with, if you're talking specifically with populations of people who've had negative experiences with police, would they even feel comfortable going to the police station? That's one of the things Chief Keenan has said numerous times as well. If you can't find it on the website, just come to the police station. But if you're talking about someone who has a negative interaction with police officers and they feel like they're being victimized and looked down upon because of the color of their skin, are they going to be comfortable walking into a police station where there's primarily white police officers to file a report saying, I felt like this was, you know, that I had this negative interaction? I could even tell you a couple weeks ago, as we had a protest and we were marching from the Church of the Presidents into the front of the police station, and we were walking down the road and we'd communicated with Quincy Police ahead of time to shut down the streets. They were completely on board with that. And as we were marching down the street, a Quincy police officer flew by on his motorcycle and literally almost ran over a Black woman who was a part of our group. And then when two of our members went to approach the lieutenant about that and the concern with that, his response was basically, well, you could go in and file a report. Someone might be willing to listen to you.
Okay. Are you encouraged, though, that at least there seems to be a dialogue happening on this issue?
Oh, absolutely. We really appreciate the opportunity that we have to meet with Chief Keenan, Mayor Koch. They've certainly been open to meeting with us every other month and have expressed a desire to continue meeting with us as well. And so we are very appreciative of that.
Mimi, for your part, I mean, you know, you were kind of the inspiration to have the standouts out in front of the church on Thursdays. What would you like to see next? Are you thinking an appearance before the city council or some type of legislative action on Beacon Hill? You know, what are you thinking in the long term?
Joe, I used to be more involved with action on Beacon Hill, and I've decided in the light of recent events to move my focus onto my own city. I was born in Quincy. I've worked in Quincy. I have family living in Quincy for a long time. So I am proud of the city in so many ways, but there are ways for the city to really grow. I've had experiences with friends and neighbors whom I know and love in my neighborhood who will say to me, people of a different race from me, and they will say, Mimi, walking around town with you is much more comfortable than walking around by myself. And while I'm engaged with these neighbors and friends and enjoying their company so much, between us, I feel so equal, and it has taught me what it's like in someone else's shoes. Right here, so close to where I live. So I really would like to see the level of personal racism in the city. I would really love to see the openness improve. I think recognizing our own inherent bias is crucial, and it's not easy to look at. I had the opportunity of leaving Quincy and going to Boston to nursing school. There, I met people of all races, and I was thrust into the middle of another world, and I learned so much. I was really a young woman, but many people have stayed in a kind of a closed off place, and most, stay with their closely knit with their family and friends and haven't had that chance to expand. But through groups such as, we'll have a wonderful meeting at the library, there's opportunities to expand our knowledge about racial inequity, learn about Black Lives Matter, learn the meaning. I think that there's activism bubbling up all over the city. And I'm very excited by that and hopeful. And that's where I feel like we need to work with our city and within the city's, the government and other social areas that the city provides.
You may be aware that Quincy Asian Resources most recently held a kind of a forum, if you will, allowing young people to talk about how they've experienced racism in the schools or throughout the city. So do you think there, and this is just kind of an open question to all of you, do you think there needs to be kind of a broader based, you know, community conversation about that sponsored by, I don't know, you folks or the city council or another social service agency?
Yeah, and there's a number of organizations that really look at dialogue. There's a group called Courageous Conversations for Racial Justice that was started in Milton and has had a couple of meetings in Quincy as well. Because this transformative change has to happen at all levels, looking in our own hearts, looking in our interpersonal, looking in our schools, our city. The rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, if I may paraphrase him, once said, none of us are guilty, but all of us are responsible. And I think racism and other oppressions are acts of violence, you know, whether or not that goes to the extreme of someone being murdered in the streets or in their home by folks who are supposed to be leaders in a community. Violence takes so many forms, and we're all responsible to repair the relationships that have been sundered by that violence. So having broad community conversations, having these weekly Black Lives Matter standouts creates a culture where we can be looking comprehensively at how we can take responsibility. What are the relationships we have? So for parents, teachers, students in the schools, they're in those relationships, and how can we work together to recognize ongoing violence, big and small, and begin to rebuild trust and create safer spaces. So wherever you all are, your family, wherever you work, I say to everyone, take some deep breaths and look around as honestly as you can with an open heart and open mind. And where has trust been broken by racism and other oppressions? And what is the role that you can play as an individual to take responsibility for building a more trusting, safer, loving world where people of all backgrounds feel safe going to school, feel safe walking down the street, feel safe going to vote, feel safe just participating in the full life of our society.
Pastor Thomas, would you like to add to that?
Yeah, I agree with everything that my friend Reverend Rebecca has said. I think so. I think it has to happen on many levels. I know that some of our ward counselors have been working to hear some of the stories. Nina Lang and others have been really intentional about promoting equity within our city, as well as there are a number of other organizations that are engaging in some of the stuff. And so in a lot of ways, Quincy for Transformative Change isn't necessarily trying to replace them, but come alongside of a lot of these organizations and see how we can work together ultimately to create a more equitable and just city for all of its residents, but specifically the Black and brown residents who live under the weight of a white supremacy culture.
Anything else anyone would like to add today?
I did listen into the Asian teen communication expressing there. I was looking for an opportunity to invite people to our standout. We are standing for Black lives and for all an end to all racism. We have end to all bias and against gender, race, or sexual orientation, disabilities, any ability bias. It's all there, and we'd like people to join with us. It's not easy for people to be able to come out and voice their opinion in the time of COVID. So I think that's one of the things that sets people a little more apart and makes people fearful. But we have a space that we welcome all people with good intention for loving one another as humanity. So every Thursday, 3:30 to 5:30 on the steps of the First Parish Church. And then we take a nice stroll around the building. And I have to talk with my hands a little bit. So it's been a wonderful opportunity so far. We welcome people to join us. The sun always shines on us there. And we have a sense, we had a good talk last night after our meeting. We have a real sense that as our neighbors of color are driving by, that they feel heartened by seeing our presence. It's it's a connection. There's, I think it's, it has so much value and breaking. It's a spot in Quincy where people are saying, we hear you, we welcome you, we're trying to understand. So I'd really love people to join us for any bit of time they can, and everyone should feel welcome.
Yeah. We've had people of all ages, children, sometimes three generations of family, folks from Veterans for Peace, from environmental groups, the interfaith community. So it's an opportunity to come together in community, to bring that moral witness, keep that in our consciousness, our public consciousness, that change needs to happen, that change is possible, and that we want to work together so that all our neighbors feel safe.
How can folks learn more? How can folks get connected, you know, with this movement? What are some good ways for them to do that?
Yeah, well, there's a number of Facebook pages. You know, these are grassroots movements that have just started over the summer and the fall. So you can go to the Dispatches from Quincy for Transformative Change. It's a Facebook group, www.facebook.com/QuincyChange. And from there, there are links to a number of Facebook groups. So that www.facebook.com/QuincyChange is where there's event announcements and the opportunity to get involved in other ways.
Great. Okay, Pastor Thomas, anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I mean, I would just kind of end by saying, you know, as people of faith and conviction in our city, you know, the reason we're doing this is because we want to say not here, mm-hmm. not on our watch, not in Quincy. The stuff has been pervasive and allowed to exist so long, and it's still going on. Just because we don't acknowledge it doesn't mean it's not here. And so part of the reason we're doing this, each of these organizations, as well as the Standout, is as I mentioned earlier, a moral witness, an opportunity for us to come together despite differences, right? We have people from all different political perspectives, clergy members from different religions, ultimately coming together, but united around the support of Black lives. And I think there's something deeply profound and beautiful about that, that despite all the differences that we have, we can come together and fight for justice.
Great. Well, really appreciate the opportunity to speak with all of you. If we can do anything more here at QATV to help you get your message out, please don't hesitate, Mimi. I know you'll be kind of the contact person. But to you, Pastor, and also Reverend Froom, please feel free to reach out. We'd be happy to help you.
Okay. Thank you so much for having us.
Joe, I can leave you with some more of my contact information if you want to attach it to this video or have it available.
We'd be happy to do this.
Okay.
Great. All right. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.